and our only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 121, all stanzas. Psalm 121, all stanzas.
For he is
scripture reading this morning hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the New Testament in the book of the Revelation to John, chapter 19. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and the fourth generation to them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the scripture reading in Revelation to John chapter 19. Revelation 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For through the righteous are his judgment, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigned. And let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed ye are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in the righteousness he does judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the foes that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, and that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with a sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. O Lord, we have come together this morning again, in this morning hour, by divine providence, to hear what I have to say to us by word and spirit. O Lord, may it be that we are gathered together this morning not only to hear a chapter of the Bible, but to be a subject of thy eternal love. O Lord, we became subjects of thy eternal wrath in paradise, and we increase thy wrath against us with our daily sin, and that is our terrible state if we still live for our own account. O Lord, that we may consider that thy wrath is coming, and that we live in the end times, and that there is no escape outside of Christ, that we may escape for our life, O Lord, not to escape hell and not to enter heaven, but for thy sake, to fear thee, to honor thee in all thy doings. O Lord, that is not possible on our side. We are hopeless, weak, and without any power. We need thy intervention in Christ to be saved, and we need an application of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to be saved. O Lord, reveal thyself to us by word and spirit this morning, in thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, look upon us in Christ, and take away our sin and unbelief, that we may become what we are, lost sinners, ready to the fire. and that our old man may die, because our carnal nature in Adam don't honor thee. O Lord, revive thy people around the world, revive us. If we belong to thee, yea, give us a national revival, for it is more than time to work. And thou art going on to fulfill thy eternal pleasure. O Lord, remember the sick and afflicted, the widowers and the widows and the orphans, and all our circumstances, that all our circumstances may lead to glorify thy holy name, and for saving our lost souls, remember thy covenant people, the Jews. Let them come to thee in Christ according to thy own promises. O Lord, we pray for our government. She is thy servant, to let our rulers fulfill their task faithfully. But they are going on in unbelief and terrible sin. O Lord, also the house of our Queen, O Lord, the royal members have left thee, and served thee, and served the world. But they are lost forever if they do not return to thee. Deliver them from sin and let them fear thee. Because thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords, thou art coming to judge the quick and the dead. O Lord, the world is going down, but thy word will stand forever, and thy kingdom will come. Establish thy kingdom in our country and in the hearts of our rulers. Be with us in speaking and listening. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, before starting to explain our text with the help of the Lord, we will sing together Psalm 24, the stanzas 1, 2, 3. Psalm 24, the stanzas 1, 2, 3.
King of birds, Lord.
congregation this morning. This morning, however, we will listen to the word of God, to chapter 19 of the Revelation to John. And that chapter that deals about the marriage of the Lamb that is prepared for all the children of God, both small and great. But beloved, for before we can deal with something from God's word, we have to be dealt with by that word. Otherwise we don't understand anything of the contents of that word. And may the Lord give us that grace in this morning hour. And what are the contents of God's holy and infallible word? Now from Genesis to Revelation, it is nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, of whom the same word testifies unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But I did not feel like having a sermon to you this morning, for I am foolish in heaven's ways. You may always have a mind to it, but I didn't, and I had not any courage either. And do you know what I did like? To read to you from the precious book of Samuel Rutherford, entitled The Singer of Aberdeen. Do you know that book? Do you have read that real spiritual book? I have read it several times, and I would like to read it to you. And that is what I liked, for then I could leave this essay, which must be the greatest foolishness. I compare it with that precious little book. And do you know, my beloved, what Samuel Rutherford wrote about the knowledge of Christ in one of his works? There he says, "We only play a little at the borders of, at the outside of the knowledge of Christ, like children do with the gold cover and the silk ribbons of an Arabian Bible, which they cannot read." And that's what Reverend Rutherford said of his knowledge of Christ. But all his dealings testified of his Lord and Savior. And he had his conversation with his face lifted up to heaven, and where Christ is. And he walked with God like Enoch, also in Enwold. And once he exclaimed in joy because of God's glory in Christ, "And what is not heaven?" You know what he's saying? Preaching is not Christ. And that's what Reverend Rutherford said. And how many there are in our days who make a minister or a sermon their heaven? We have the real church. But Reverend Rutherford himself, a servant of the Most High, testified against this with the words, "A who may come on all loves except on the love of Christ." A whole. And he says, "I invoke death on all life except the life of Christ. I know," he says, "that Christ is not known among us." And weeping he goes on, "Oh, so much is done and said about the vain creature, and so little is thought of my great and incomprehensible Lord Jesus, who can never be admired." sufficiently. Oh, be wretched fools, he said. What fails in Christ in your eyes that you walk so far away from him? And nobody comes to him who is not welcome. Nobody that comes will repent of his coming to Christ. And do you know what Samuel Rutherford said? Sell everything for Christ, even though the wind look the skin of your faces. And all that you have besides Christ are idols. And beloved, with the jubilation of Revelation 19, the servant of the Most High died, who stood in awe of nobody and nothing. And when the honor of God was at stake, he made a hell tremble. And that's the way in which Samuel Rutherford departed from Emmanuel's land. And do you understand a bit that I had no mind and no courage anymore to preach because of our toying with the knowledge of Christ? Do you feel it? Or do you think that we are living in a highly spiritual time? If you think that, you do not know history, nothing at all. And then you should read the booklets of the singer of Aberdeen. And somebody says, but what does that have to do with Revelation? You may say, everything. For the people who worship God in his justice, and that's what our fathers and the Scots in particular were granted to be exercised with this side of the grave. And they have been made conform to the image to Christ. And when that may happen, the church will shine to the honor of a triune God. And there won't be any converted man or woman left, oh no. Just look here at the chapter in John's book. And do you know what has happened in this chapter? Well, heaven has opened up to John. Again? Yes. For John was granted to live under an open heaven on the island of Patmos, where he was an exile. And it already started in the first chapter, remember. And then he saw one like the Son of Man, of whom it says, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, says John, I fell at his feet as dead. And do you know where the church loses her conversion, beloved? When the eternal blessed of the Father reveals himself to a hell-worthy and damnable sinner. For it says, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not. For I am the first and the last, and I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Look, beloved, room must be made for this in our lives. And otherwise we shall never understand what revelation means. And do you know what the bride prays for in Solomon's songs? For the north wind of God's discovering breath, for she has got into a condition of God dishonoring superficiality. She is neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And then the Lord knows how to get his church on her knees, mind you. When is this? Well, if you may know him, but must miss his kind countenance through the fault of one's own, when everything in and around you smells of death again, then they cry out, grant life unto my soul. Seek thy servant, not before. And then the bride does not only pray for the north wind, which must blow away the smell of death, but also for that south wind to fill the empty place with adoration, honor, and thankful praises. And that's what John may hear, namely a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now, congregation, they are people saved out of the great tribulation. And when this may happen in your and my life, then it will give rise to eternal wondering and adoration to praise that God forever. Yeah, and a converted man is not the most important thing here. Oh no. God's righteousness must be glorified. That counts. Is God's righteousness glorified in your life? And here it is about the adoration of his judgment on the works of the devil. And what are the works of the devil? Now, anything that is not of God and Christ is the works of the devil. And we just spoke of the multitude which has been saved from the greater tribulation. And for the people in heaven, this is an absolute fact. It never changes anymore. But for the church, for the church militant is the only moment here, and that they may actually testify of it and proclaim his glory. And do you know when you will proclaim his praise? When out of free grace your self-righteousness may receive a stab of death, and you may share in the righteousness of Christ. And then is born what we hardly hear anymore nowadays, namely adoration, honor, and thankful praises. And beloved, if you live by the law and stay alive with your deliverances, and then you will die through the law, for the law knows no grace. The law requires complete payment. And then you should not say that Christ has paid, for how do you know it? How do you know? Do you have an application of that? And it is true. It's true, though, that Christ has paid with his perfect sacrifice, but has he also paid for you and for me? That is an essential question, isn't it? Is there a man in church who is wrestling with this question? who is vexed with a thousand cares and with a thousand doubts about his eternal state, and does not believe there is yet hope for a dead dog like him. Dear friend, then I have a word for you. Do you know who entered the promised land with Joshua? You know? His name was Caleb. Caleb means dog, and Joshua means Jesus. Do you know whom Christ invites to his table? Do you know it? Converted people? Oh, I don't read that anywhere in God's Word. I read that the King David invites Mephibosheth to come and eat of the king's dainties. He was lame, but was carried to the king's table. And then Mephibosheth cries out, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Are there such dead dogs in our midst? Then I hear the king of the church call, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Christ invites dead dogs to his table. And he makes them alive. Not on the table. Because the table of Holy Supper, that is not the table of conversion. But they are people who do not know anymore how to get converted. They are people who understand Mephibosheth experimentally. And understand well, we do not glorify ignorance. For in our days this is often abused as if that were a foundation to appear before God and to go to the Lord's Supper. No. And once more, no. But the souls that are at their wit's end and wrestle day and night with the question, how do I get reconciled with God? They are called upon. Believed in the Lord Jesus, and ye shall be saved, ye and your house. Somebody says, "Preacher, isn't that a bit easy?" Yeah, you know, you want to add your size. You don't want to live on free grace only. But I tell you, not I, but God's word says, "He that believes not shall be damned." Is that easy? He shall believe not shall be damned. Is that easy? Oh, beloved, that is so heavy, that damned unbelief, that Christ in a certain respect did not know what to think about. And he left for the parts of Tyre and Sidon, for he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief is a power of guilt. The Lord Jesus can break it. But he left the parts of Tyre and Sidon because of their unbelief. Whores and publicans will go before you into the kingdom of heaven. And you know, Asaph was a great beast like Mephibosheth. It was a dead dog. A great beast and a dead dog. And they viewed with each other and with Paul, who was the chief of sinners. And those people will cry out here in principle and perfectly in future, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." And you can imagine, that is a people who have fallen through the bottom of everything, through the bottom of their conversion, And they have fallen through the bottom of their conversion, their zeal for God, for their justification, of their sanctification, for all their works have been thrown on the dunghill. And do you know what fills those people? The love of Christ and the honor of God. And this constrains them to glorify Christ. They don't know how to stop. Here they do, this side of the grave. For they haven't got a glorified body yet in eternal wonder and adoration. And beloved, heaven is there where Christ is, and that is the place of adoration and thankful praises. And there is an everlasting church service. There is the church will never be over. And what will it be when you are bored in God's house and where the bread of life is shown? Then heaven will be a hell for and hell to you. For then you will only do one thing. What's that? Glorify God. And then you shall unbounded be who see God's face eternally. And your heart desire receiving, and they worship God saying, Amen, Alleluia. Now somebody says, but you cannot keep on doing this, can you? Yes, that is what the superficial religion of our day says. They'd rather discuss the place of women in church and state and let opinions of their own prevail over the order of God's creation ordinance in obedience and love and faith. But I believe that there are many simple souls who fear God, who want to stick to God's testimony, for the honor of God and Christ are at stake. And beloved, I haven't heart for it, but has it become our distress that we do not have God in view, and that at best we only prayed about things of no value? And to John and to all God's people on earth, there is a voice from the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And the little ones in grace wants to magnify God forever for all that he has worked with, redound to his honor. And who are the small ones in grace? And they are souls who have no use any more for would-be pious prattle. They have smelled the odor of death in themselves, and they do hold others at all, those serious and need church people, in high esteem, for they can believe that that people are saved or can be saved. But for themselves, oh yes, they know Christ. They know Christ because he has revealed himself to them, but their faith are so little, so weak, that they have more unbelief than faith in exercise. However, the little ones in faith do wish to rejoice in God, but they are so often shut up and cannot come out because they cannot understand the life of God in their souls. But that is nothing to worry about, for if there is a real hungering after God, given by God, then the feeling of missing God becomes worse and worse, and the hunger after the righteousness of Christ becomes greater and greater. Why? Because they believe in Christ, but they still live in a movable kingdom. And most of God's people misses The zeal of the Holy Spirit. Do you know it? Most people of God misses the zeal of the Holy Spirit. Now every child of God has the Spirit. Yeah? But the zeal of the Holy Spirit is important. And also in the way of true conversion of sin, that is a prayerful life. Eh? For in the way of misery, you don't get enough to live on, and just enough not to die. But there will come a day that you may die in a blissful way. Then the ways cease, the tears stop flowing, and then you have no prayers anymore, for that has always been for self. And then your prayers become sin, and what is left? An ungodly bit of a man. And those ungodly people have only one right left, namely eternal damnation. And they go down with a cry, but willingly. They have one wish left, to be enabled to kiss the feet of the Lord Jesus once more, to worship Him once more, which they want to do forever. And do you know where that people fall into? Not into hell. For then hell would rejoice forever, but hell-worthy sinners fall into the mediatorial arms of the faithful Savior, who embraces them and presses them to His eternal mediatorial heart, so that they may behold God's sanctuary, Christ's heart, with Asaph. And then Asaph sings, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by thy right hand, and thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That's the experience of God's people. God's real people are mostly lost. Yeah. I talk to you, but that is the experience of the saints. Mostly lost. And beloved, then you won't have a heart left anymore, eh? Then everything melts. Then everything will break. When the Lord Jesus reveals Himself again to His people. And then you need not be converted anymore. Then Christ is made unto your wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and complete redemption. That happens in the second conversion. In the first conversion, you will serve God, huh? Serve God, yeah, serve the Lord. And you will, you wish to obey His commandments. But in the second conversion, when you fell down through the bottom of your conversion, nothing is left but Christ. And blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I wish you may have a prosperous death in order to be enabled to share in the salvation out of and through free grace, of which the saved sing before the throne, He that is our God is the God of salvation. Now after the second conversion, then you are directed to the honor of God, eh? not of your conversion anymore. You don't care of it, because Christ is your eternal rock of salvation. And look, when the precious song of McChain becomes so true, for a while from life's fever, my God set me free. Jehovah Chitch Caney, my dad's song shall be. And then the trumpet is put to the mouth. Praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. And I say, beloved, don't you feel like serving and glorifying that God of salvation? And somebody says, yes, but room must be made for it. Now, well, God must do nothing, but he does everything to call us to this, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are they that are called in this chapter? That's the question. Who are they that are called in this chapter? Now, beloved, you should read well what it says there. It says, blessed are they which are called. It does not say, blessed are they which get called. Do you feel the difference? It says, blessed are they which are called. Not blessed are they which get called. For all that are under the pure preaching of God, of God's word, of the gospel, get called one by one. So none of us can say, I don't get called. If you say that, you have the truth against you. For the mouth of truth testifies the unconditional offer of grace through the faith in Christ. Yeah, somebody may say, but the faith in Christ must be given to me. My dear friends, thousands of thousands get lost in saying that. For with this ungodly reasoning, you do not anything but blame God. But if there are souls here who cry after God in unbearable distress, like the crying deer in Psalm 42, oh, when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? And those souls hear the voice from the throne to them, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Yeah, many people speak of distress, but if it is a distress that can be borne, it has nothing to do with the true work of God in your life. Give me Jesus, else I die. For outside Jesus there is no life but eternal perdition. And that's what the Lord is heading for in the lives of all those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is that? Blessed are they which are called. That's election. They are called before they are converted. They are called from eternity. But we have said that all that are under the preaching of the word get called without any exception. So there is no excuse for us when at the day of days we have to give an account of our stewardship. And then we shall be dumbstruck if we have not regarded such a great salvation, but have wasted our precious time of grace and have not regarded that well-meaning calling. We all get called. And then we would wish to be in God's house for one more minute to answer the call which has sounded in the preaching of the word. Come to the marriage. And that invitation still sounds, even now in this morning hour. Come to the marriage, for all things are ready. Why? For it is finished. The Lord Jesus has said on the cross, it is finished. I hear somebody say, but preacher, I cannot come
For I have married a wife. I have no time. It says, come to the marriage, for the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him. Another says, but I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go to see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another says, I have bought 5 yoke oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And my friends, beloved, if we don't heed that unconditional invitation with our religious duties as a cloak of what a discovery will that will be, if we thought to get in with all our ceremonies and to them to hear, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you have been called, but have not come. And then you will have to cry out your own fault with eternal remorse and chew your tongues in an everlasting pain. For many have been called, but few chosen. Few church people, for they had no time to come. And then the call will go out to the lame and to the maimed, to the harlots and to the publicans. But then the most fearful judgment, but a just judgment, will be carried out to all those that had been invited, but who had not come to the marriage. For it says in Luke 14, verse 24, for I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And their city was burned up. But first we will sing Psalm 52, the stanzas 1 to 4. Psalm 52, the stanzas 1 through 4.
Oh,
Still there is room. Once more the call will go out into the highways and the hedges to compel them to come in. For his house must be filled. And his house shall be filled, for they will come, led through the divine light. And they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, to report the salvation of his righteousness and his great deeds. And also from the Jews and Gentiles, though separated from God as yet, will come to thee, O Lord, and bow down before thee. And this chapter of Revelation of chapter 19 is filled with those praises to the triune God, from all tongues, people and nations, to praise the triune God forever and ever. For it says, the Philistine, the Tyrian, and the Ethiopians have been born in thee, O city of God. For they shall be called Zion's children, having been washed with the precious blood of Christ, and clothed with the robe of his righteousness. So, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those are they that have been given of the Father, whom Christ has bought with his own blood from eternity. Now somebody says, but yes, you say, I do not know whether I am an elect. Now my answer is, that's none of your business. You be called to the wedding. You are get called.
Escape for thy life, for the time is short.
Today is the day of salvation. Now let go. Drop all your rotten religion. Let go all your hope outside of Christ, outside the city of refuge. You are lost. Turn to Him unconditionally. Or don't you realize that the Avenger of blood is after you? He can kill you any moment. For when He finds you, He will surely kill you. And if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong to thy peace, beloved, there is there a pilgrim in here, a fleeing sinner, with a curse of the law in his heart, and do not know where to find Christ? Is that sinner in our midst? Now go on, sinner, take heart. He will surely come and take you. He will surely come and take you by the right hand. Are you standing before a closed door of your polluted existence? He, the Lord Jesus, stand behind your door. Lie down at His door, weeping, till He bestows grace upon you. And His hour, at His hour, He will open the door of your forfeited life. In order to carry that door away into the sea of everlasting oblivion, through a way of justice and righteousness. And somebody says, yes, you say, my door is like the gates of a besieged city, sealed with chains. And I am in that city and I am dying of hunger and thirst. But I am entangled in my sins and the gates are sealed and fastened with iron chains of my unbelief. And outside the town, the devil is in strong armor, is watching. He aims his fiery arrows at the gate of my conscience, and I am getting more and more desperate and hopeless. Well, my friend, you are in an lamentable condition, but how have you got in such a condition? You may say, it is my own fault, for I preferred living in pleasure to suffering affliction with the people of God. And with my burden of transgression, I am heavenly laden, overborne, I am undone. Now, if that is true, my friend, don't despair of God, don't despair of Christ, for He is willing to deliver you from them. Remember Samson, who wrenched the gates of the ungodly city of Gaza out of their foundation, took them on his shoulder and carried them into the mountain. A greater than Samson is here, for Christ can break through the gates of your unrighteousness and unbelief. Yea, He can get through closed doors. And therefore remember, my friend, the divine word of God, that in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And believe it. And believe in Him, and you shall be saved. For the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses from all sins. Yeah, beloved, may I ask you, if there were no heaven to be saved and no hell for punishment, do you still love Christ? May I ask you, what is your heaven or what is your hell? If Christ is not your heaven and missing God is not your hell, then you are most wretched.
Samuel Rutherford says, if the love of Christ is not in heaven, then I am unwilling to go there.
Yeah, a lot is said about love and not a little about mutual love. But do you know what love is? Real love? I tell you, that is the love of Christ who reconciles enemies with God and applies that work through the Holy Spirit in your heart. Christ prayed for enemies. When he was hanging on the cursed tree, hanging on the cross of shame, and was mocked and slandered, and still he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you such an enemy? Then hear the love of God in Christ for enemies. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Harlots, murderers, and publicans will be washed in his blood and clothed with the robe of his righteousness, and will eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. But in time you are get called. And do you know what makes me sad sometimes, beloved? That so little is taste of this adorable love. For then there would not be so many satanic insinuations among God's people as there are nowadays. We live in a terrible time. It seems that superficial religion is believed more in its slanders and insinuations against God's people than that they seek to edify each other in love and faith. And beloved friends, the Savior warns, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Do you know it that your flesh is weak, so weak that you cannot stand in your own power? Do you know it, your flesh is weak, ready to go in any temptation? Do you know what Rutherford says? Yeah, that dear brother Rutherford. Do you know what he says? Near every bush there is a snake. Oh, that God's people might love each other without idolizing each other. For that also occurs in a lot in our days, that the person is put on a pedestal, even it were in our thoughts, but that is a great evil. But the Lord does not want to leave his honor to graven images. And which of us can say that he is not guilty of this? I am. I have to admit that to my shame, but also to God's honor. And God grant that we may realize our guilt before him. For one does not often meet wretched people who are guilty of that. Would be pious religion is found everywhere in our days. And they are people who have good and evil. You know that people, they have good and evil. But ungodly people, you can read it in Romans 5 verse 6, have only evil. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. And these people are reconciled to God. They are harlots, publicans, and murderers. And they go before you into heaven. And oh, that we all might share in the in that free grace, in that precious free grace. For we have no right to be unconverted. God has a right to be honored and praised by His well-created creatures. But not so through the works of the law, for in paradise we fell out of God's image, and breakers of the covenant have only one right, the right to the covenantal revenge. And by nature God's wrath rests on each of us. But oh, adorable love of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you hear it? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, let us not honor the creature above the Creator of all good. John Paul also fell into that snare. He worshipped the angel who revealed all this to him, but the angel admonished him. You know what he said? See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And the angel defends God's honor. And that's what Paul did when Peter feigned with the Jews. He defended God's honor in Antioch, and withstood him in the face before them all. And Peter could accept this. Yeah, that we are missing in our days. And I believe we are a long way from this, and rather leave the honor to the creature that this gracious exercise. For we wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if this were more in exercise through the love of Christ, then there would not be such more. Then there would not be so much quarreling and division among the people of God. But through grace, Peter was granted to know, let the righteous smite me, it shall be an excellent oil. And John was granted to submit, and the admonishment. And when the centurion Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet, he was taken up by Peter, who said, stand up, I myself also am a man. Now what a precious work is it to teach one another in this way through the love of Christ. Each esteeming other better than themselves. Beloved, we have to wind up. May the Lord grant us the grace to side with Him unconditionally, to celebrate the everlasting marriage feast with a given Lord Jesus, to the honor and the glorification of a triune God. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 19, the stanzas 1 and 4. Psalm 19, the stanzas 1 and 4. The spacious heavens loud the glory of our God, with full majestic praise the soaring firmament. And what follows in the verses 1 and 4 of Psalm 19.
Heavens low.
salvation, let us thank the Lord. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word, and we ask thee for an application and a revelation of Christ for the first, for those who are in bondage under the law, but also after receiving grace. We need grace after grace, O Lord, because in the life of grace we remain totally dependent on thee. We can nothing do of ourselves. We can nothing do by ourselves. O Lord, we have heard thy word so many times, but let it be fruitful in Christ to thy honor, to the glorification of thy holy name. Lord, thou art reconciled by thy son's sacrifice, and thou have a complete salvation for a complete lost sinner, but let us be a subject of thy mercy and thy sovereign grace. Take room in our hearts. Bring us at the right place before thee, to accept what we are, to accept our condemnation, to accept our judgment, to justify thee in all thy doings. And Lord, we confess it is so easy to say these things, but let us be a subject of thy seeking love in Christ. Be with us in this day. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from sin. Not to be converted in the first place, but to proclaim thy honor as a witness of Christ. Thou art so worthy to be honored by all thy creatures. O Lord, let it be not a mouth confession, but a confession by heart. Through the Holy Spirit, we pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.